Sheep, wolves, snakes, and doves. How do these relate to each other? Tune in to find out.
Hi, this is Rebecca Messer, co-host for the Training Them Wisely podcast with our host, Renee Christensen. Renee speaks at church events and conferences teaching parents and grandparents how to grow in their walk with the Lord while discipling their children and grandchildren, because authentic, loving discipleship matters. Renee is a best-selling author of the book, Training Them Wisely, Discipling Kids, and has several new Bible study releases designed for the whole family to use together for family devotions, homeschool curriculum, or personal quiet times. These studies cover 4 age levels: preschool, kids, teens, and adults. Please find, follow, like, and share us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or wherever you are listening and following along. We're glad you're here with us today. So I'm so excited to be talking today about deception. It's something that, as you and I were talking about this, we have literally been facing since the beginning of time.
Yes, it's been around forever. Satan has been deceiving from the beginning, lying from the beginning. And nowadays, he has a new device to spread lies and deceptions with the internet. So we're going to be talking about online deceptions today.
Yeah, and there's a lot of angles that as we talk through things, there's so many deceptions, especially as moms, that we face. But today, we just really wanted to focus on, okay, online deceptions. What does this look like? What is our response supposed to be? Because it's sneaky.
It is like, sneaky.
It can look really good.
And deception, I loved how you said that it's, whenever we looked up the definition, that's acting in a certain way. So it's actually an action that's the opposite of the truth. And so if we know the truth, then we're going to be able to spot the deceptions.
Yeah. And, everybody knows the counterfeit money example, where if you study the real thing, it's easy to spot the counterfeit. It's easy to spot the fake. So the first thing I think that we just really want to hammer in here is, the easiest way to confront online deceptions is we ourselves have to stay so grounded in the Word consistently so that we are intimately familiar with the truth.
Yeah, because we don't want to accidentally speak deceitful words ourselves. Just like 1 Peter 3:10 says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And especially whenever it comes to things that relate to God or to the Bible, we want to make sure that what we're speaking is the truth, especially to our children, to our families, if we're teaching.
And you and I have talked a lot about, as we're teaching people about the Bible and we're discipling. And when we did this podcast, I know you and I talked about it some, and we were even talking about it again in prep for this session, is what we're saying strictly based on the Bible and what God is telling us. And not what we feel like, what we think would get more follows or more, like making sure that it's accurate, because we're going to have to give an even bigger account one day.
An account, yep. And we have to give an account for every careless word that we speak. So we do. We want to be very careful with what we say.
And one of the tests that we talked about that is just really good for whether it's online or anything is found in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything, any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Yeah. And so whenever we're seeing things online, that's what we want to do. Think about it. Is it good? Is it true? Is it backed up by scripture? Regardless of who is saying it, they're not God. So they can make mistakes. So is what you're hearing backed up by scripture? And does it meet that Philippians 4:8 verse requirement that you just read? And if it doesn't, you don't need to listen to it, because you don't want to be deceived by it. Out it goes, exactly.
And a recent example that I just still get a little tickled by, my husband is all into space. He loves anything space related. And so he had seen the last eclipse in 2017. And when this one was coming up, and he's like, we are going. So leading up to the eclipse, I started seeing all of this stuff online about the Lord coming back and the end of time and a lot of very strange things. And one of them had a message in there, and it was basically calling people to repentance. And that part was really good. And I thought, you know, this is a good example of you can see something online and you can have a discerning spirit and throw out the garbage and be able to see, hear the one good part. And the good part in this particular video was calling people to repentance, because the end is drawing near. That part is right. Whenever, not based on anything we can possibly calculate, but taking the time to repent, to do the work, to stay in our quiet time. And let's see, the one that I had thought of with this was 1 John 4:1, where it said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." And we're going to be facing them, because the enemy wants to equip them so that we're confused.
It does. And it doesn't have to be something even scary. Like, some people were being very scary with what they were saying about the eclipse happening. But just everyday things can also be deceitful, that can just kind of weave its way into our culture, weave our way into its mind, our minds. And I was looking at mom memes whenever we were getting ready for this. And I'm not popping them up here because, I didn't want to. But a lot of them are about being so stressed out, so exhausted from being a mom, that they just have to shut down, watch a movie, watch Netflix, drink wine at night to recover from their day of being a mom. And
if we're not trying to tell you that being a mom is not exhausting.
No, it is
exhausting. We will be the first in line to tell you it's exhausting.
It is absolutely exhausting.
But that's not where it is.
These memes were instead, whenever you started reading the comments with them, it was a way to kind of wallow in self-pity rather than gaining encouragement and wisdom to help you push through days. And whenever we're going online, and whenever we just need to shut our brains off, we feel like sometimes a better idea might be to spend time in God's word and to rest and relax like that. Not that there's something wrong with watching a movie or something at night to relax. I used to do that whenever I was younger.
But if it's that escape, it's that idea, if you have to escape the reality that God has put you in, and it's not to just unwind or relax. We are not trying to say don't relax, because
no, relax, relaxation.
I have had a migraine for, you know, like I've had to rest some in these past few weeks, and a lot. And it's not my first preference. I'm very type A. I like to get it done. But what we're talking about, and everybody needs to just hear this very clear, we're not talking about rest and unwinding when we're saying confronting these online deceptions. We're talking about the escape element that people are talking about, and thinking that the things that God has called them to that are hard and holy are somehow wrong.
Yes, and that is exactly what it is. Because in Ephesians 2:10, where he says that we're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And whenever it's talking about that our firm foundation is Jesus Christ, and that we're building on top of that foundation, and that we don't want to just be building with hay and straw and wood, but instead gold and precious jewels, that we want to be able to be building this foundation up. And if we're just being a mom that keeps our children alive, that barely makes it through the day, and then it's like, woohoo, we did it, rather than being able to delight in our children, then we're missing out on those opportunities that we have with them. Now, I am not, I mean, I do understand. I've had 7 children. I had 3 of them very close together, and then I had another 3 of them very close together. And I very much so remember the nonstop touch, the nonstop mom, 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 the not being able to go to the bathroom by myself. They would come when I'm in the bath. I would be in the bathroom, and they would be have been sitting between my husband and I. They would get up off the couch, come to the bathroom to ask me a question, rather than asking my husband that they were sitting next to in the other side of the house. So I do understand that it is a constant demand on us.
And sometimes you're laying there in bed and you're thinking, the tiny humans and I are alive. And that thought will go through your head, especially in the wearying or exhausting moments. And again, that is not what we're addressing here when we're saying that's what the enemy wants us to focus on. And I loved in this morning's sermon, the pastor said something about we need to basically face the pain. We need to face the troubles, but our focus needs to be on the purpose.
And yes, I loved that
because the verse that I had kind of thought about with this was the one from John 7:24, where it says, "Do not be conformed to this world." I don't know if that was John 7:24. That might have been Hebrews 12:2, but it's the one that says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind."
Romans 12:2.
That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's where our focus has to be.
It does.
Not on the hardship, but on the purpose for the pain.
Yeah, because if we focus on how hard it is and we just escape, then we can become angry with our children. We can become impatient and irritable and not showing love.
Or worse, you can become bitter towards your children.
Yeah. And so just because the culture says it's okay, this is hard, we're not saying it's not hard, but making hard be bad is not what we want to do. God has called us to do good works, and we need to realize that whenever things are hard, it's a chance to build character. It's a chance to endure. It's a chance to build patience. It's a chance to show love, just like God showed love to us. I was reading, I read John 3:16 in my quiet time today, and I was looking at the word love, the agape love, and I went and actually was studying the meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. I posted something about it on Instagram. But that type of love that God gave, it was initiated by God, and he loved us in such a way that he was delighted to be able to give up his son for us, that he loved us and valued us and treasured us when we were completely unworthy because Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. That's the type of love that we are called to love others with. Mm-hmm. So even on the days that it's hard, even on the days that your child, my children have gone through that, I call them their testing stages, where everything's been going great, smooth sailing. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, I'm my own person. Let me challenge these boundaries consistently for a few days until I make sure that really and truly that boundary is in place.
And I've
had three of them do it before at the same time. And that's exhausting. It truly is. But it also gives you an excellent opportunity to show love. So it's just like, how are you looking at it? Are you finding friends online or in person to commiserate your misery with? Or are you finding ones that their words, instead of speaking death, are speaking life, which is what we want to speak? We want to be able to encourage moms through those hard times. Because it is hard. Bring over a meal, help, offer to babysit, give a mom a break. I mean, moms do need breaks, but when we get the break, it still needs to be in reality and not an escapism.
So this is an exciting point for us to transition into this, I think, is so we've addressed the negative deceptions that we see online where it's like, yes, we're just going to suck it through whatever, and it's just this terrible. But what then tends to happen is there's this pendulum swing where moms then tend to present their Pinterest perfect life.
Yes. And I need to tell you my funny story about this.
Yes. I want a disclaimer here. We are not saying that the type A mamas who get it done, like I have people, they see my house. You've done it before. You're like, your house is not messy. And I'll see the mess in my house. And I'm like, oh, it's so messy.
You'll have two toys out on the floor.
Yeah. We're not addressing the type A moms that keep it together, like that they're doing it because they feel called or they feel compelled to keep their house or their life a certain way. The situation that Renee is about to describe, this is what we're talking about.
Yes, it's the not reality. So we were at the playground with our kids. It was a few months ago, and a mom drove up to the playground, got her two children out of the car, had them go straight to the swings, sit down on the two swings, took pictures of them, posted it on social media, did not let her kids play at all, told them to get back in the car now that she had her two pictures of taking them to the park and leave. It wasn't a photo shoot. It was nothing like that. Like literally we saw that that's what she was doing. And so She looks
like
this.
This is preposterous, guys. Like, this has to stop.
So she looks like a mom that took her kids to the playground, but in real life she didn't. But that's what her friends are seeing and think that she's done in the middle of whatever hectic time that she's had. Oh, look, she has time to take her kids to do this.
Listen, I know of homeschool moms that they, and I will say this before I launch into this part. We have said this in so many podcast episodes before, and it bears repeating. Comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's the dumpster diving deceptions online or it's the type A compares, like, it's going to kill
you. Or they did all these crafts or their kids are using this curriculum. They spend this many hours in school. I only spend this many hours in school. Do what God calls you to do.
And then online, you see this homeschool mom post her maybe one artsy day of homeschooling, but yet people get this idea in their head, this is what homeschooling looks like for this mom. That may be the only day that she did arts and crafts. The very next day, she might have been doing nothing but taking care of sick little ones because they got a stomach bug from the food that they ate or what. Like, we're not seeing a true, realistic, minute-by-minute living out of people's lives online. And so it's very important that, you know, at the beginning, Renee was talking about what do wolves, sheep, and doves, and serpents have in common. It's that verse in Matthew 10:16 that says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." That should be our goal.
It should.
So that we don't become like wolves. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not careful, because what we all need to hear this message on, I feel like in this podcast, you, me, everybody listening, this is not a them behaving a certain way online. This is a check to ourselves. How am I behaving online? Am I sharing information that's meeting the Philippians 4:8 test? Is it meeting those good, true, pure, trustworthy, like, is it meeting those requirements, or am I acting deceitfully in the things that I'm sharing online about myself, my family, my kids, God's word, which is even scarier. But that's just kind of what I'm thinking of, is like, this isn't just a judge the people that you've seen doing these things.
And please don't judge them, because everybody is at a different place in their walks and everyone is different. There are some people who they're going to keep a perfectly clean house. There are some people that are going to love arts. They're going to do arts all the time. That God made each of us differently. We can all be excellent moms in the way that God made us to be an excellent mom. The personalities are different. I mean, your personality and my personality are quite different, but we are very alike in biblical ways that we should raise our children, because it's what the Bible says. And that's what we want to be excellent with. So that's our encouragement today, is to be careful with online deceptions. Put it past that Philippians 4:8 test. See if it is what, if it's good, if it's true, does it backed up by the Bible, and compare it to scripture, because that's what we want to know. We want to know the truth for ourselves. And this next week, in 2 days from, so on this Wednesday, we're going to head down to Pigeon Forge, and we will be at the Teach Them Diligently conference. I am so excited about that. So if you are there, stop by and see us in the vendor hall. We would love to see you there. We are so excited to get away, to get lots of wisdom and encouragement from other moms and dads that are wanting to raise their children to be godly people and to disciple them.
And that's a good way to make sure that you're not being deceived, is by staying in community and challenging, and that iron sharpening iron. So we're really excited. Hopefully we'll get to see lots of you guys there. Please do stop by and say hi. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope this was an encouragement to your heart. Remember, His mercies are new every day. You've got this, mom and dad. You can find us on any of your favorite podcast providers, as well as YouTube. Please like, share, and subscribe. Also, all of our Bible studies and books are on trainingthemwisely.com or Amazon. Have a great week.